Welcome to the Calyrex Game Corner's Pokemon D&D campaign, featuring Cindy, a hot-headed teen with a penchant for arson, Gimli, an admirable father seeking to reunite his family, Elodie, a fun-loving baker with a whimsical heart, and Schmidt, a courageous young man searching for his purpose with a duck. Together, they make the Quacko Paco, and this is Dunsparce and Drampa. It is a beautiful afternoon in Moss Deep City. While the Paco recently spent quite a bit of time on a Hoenn Island town, similar to Moss Deep feels quite a bit foreign compared to Dewford. It is far more industrialized and has more of a cosmopolitan feel than the salt-of-the-earth culture in Dewford Town. The sun is high in the sky and the rays are incredibly warming despite it being well into the fall in this hemisphere of the Pokemon world. The island energy is very relaxed, which is no doubt proliferated from a tourism culture. People are lounging around, shopping, and spending quality time with their families, friends, partners, and Pokemon. Palm trees sway in a gentle salty wind as waves lap against the western beaches and the eastern rocky cliffs. There is a small crowd gathering on a hill to the south with pleasant wooded shade to enjoy their lunches away from the sandy beaches. Let's start by checking in with Cindy and Gimli following their successful gym challenge, enjoying their afternoon on the beach. Wingull are squawking overhead as they elegantly hover on the breeze, and various species of wild seaside and ocean Pokemon are engaging each other in various ways in the tide. How are Cindy and Gimli enjoying their time?
I'm doing the very dad thing of, like, you're just building a sandcastle as efficiently as possible. And there's nothing else that could stop you.
Land in the sand, sandcastle time. There's just no...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The switch is turned on. Like, you start digging a hole immediately.
Yeah.
Start creating that sandcastle.
Perfect. Do you have anyone helping you out?
Yeah, I think I would have... I would bust out... Like, I would definitely have, like, my whole squad just out. We're all building a sandcastle together.
You can have up to six now. So would you please name... the six who are helping you build a sandcastle.
Oh my god. So this is quite the eclectic group of people. But I got Trevor. Bean on the beach.
Oh no. Yeah.
That's a monstrosity, but he's just enjoying himself. Like, no expression.
Yeah.
But he's definitely just, like, helping with the whole process. Lasagna. Bud is out on the beach. I got Roger the Red Shrock.
Yeah, Red Rock too. Okay.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Hilarious.
He's just helping me out. And I guess I got a sixth. So who do we have out now? Let's bring Gus.
Sure. Why not? We love Gus. Gus the Slowpoke.
He's just taking his time.
Yeah, that's fantastic. No, very eclectic group of monsters assisting Gimli. Onlookers who spend too much time looking might be surprised and or frightened and or experience a whole array of emotions. But needless to say, with all these powerful rock types and a talkative Bud and an enthusiastic Slowpoke, Gimli will build an extraordinary sandcastle. Trevor and Roger the Regirock are particularly skilled in this craft. This is like they are elementals of this element. So they can help you make the most grandiose castle that you could possibly want. It would be fun if you rolled. Just add like a 12 to it because you're going to get helped out a lot. And also add, fuck it, we'll just say your strength. So give me a strength check plus 12.
Okay. So strength plus 12 gives me 31.
Yeah, okay, that checks out. Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's going to take some time, and we'll check in with Cindy, but it is like a sand chateau. It's got like working water systems and everything. There's like a fountain.
Yeah, I did all the piping myself.
It's really a work of art, honestly. Cindy, I want to check in with you. What is your beach activity?
Cindy, being the unhinged, fire, chaotic child she is with all of her Pokemon, or the six that she can have out, is, like, running in and out with, like, the waves of the water, like the birds that, like, run away from the water coming in. Like, standing on the wet sand, and then the water starts coming in, it's like, oh no, run away, run away!
Just doing that with the Wingull?
Yeah.
Perfect.
With all my Pokemon.
Oh, yes.
Which would be...
Yeah, list them off, please.
Solely... Jack, Fang, Cookie, Larvastar, Basket. Izzy's in the box.
Izzy's in the box.
And I do have Trubbish. So Trubbish might be out with us as well.
Oh, are you going to send out Trubbish?
Like a, yeah, why not?
He will have to make his classic con save.
Let me do that.
DC 12.
I don't think his con's very high. It's a 19 on the die.
Oh, great. He can stifle back his vomit this time. He's still very stinky, but no immediate barf. Something about the sea breeze helps you kind of quell the nausea a bit, and he is pleased to be joining a very powerful-looking Ninetales, the new monster that is Fane, the Salamence, mighty quadrupedal dragon with giant red wings. Quite intimidating presence to be out on the beach. Basket, kind of just the minecart full of coals, and Fane, the bipedal tiger, the Incineroar. I might have missed
Jack.
One. Oh, yeah, I said Fane. Sorry. Jack. Jack is the bipedal.
And Larvastar. The Larvastar.
Yeah, Larvastar is probably the one who is the worst at this little game because they got tiny little insect legs. And they're already all low to the ground.
Maybe they're riding on Fang.
There we go. That's cute. Yes. That's
or in or on Basket.
Let it be known that when Jack, let alone Fane, enter the beach, the Wingull are done. They're like, nope, I'm going to look for fish somewhere else. I'm not going to compete with these guys. And you guys have a good little time just dipping around in the waves. I will have you make a good old classic perception check, please, Cindy.
We're famously good at these.
Nat one, baby. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, baby. Famously.
Gotta love consistency.
That's famously what it's good. All about. Cool. No additional notes, Cindy. You're having a great time.
Hell yeah.
There is a moment where, like, you kick up some sand and it blows into your face and all of your senses are completely destabilized for, like, a solid 30 seconds. You're like, ah, and you, like, can't smell, you can't hear, you can't see, and, like, it's all in your mouth and it feels awful. You're like, ah, I've been cursed. But eventually you get all the sand out. Yeah. So Gimli made a fantastic, amazing sandcastle with the help of the one legendary Pokemon that might be able to help him the most with that task. And then Cindy is having some fun on the waves. Now let's probably check in with the other two. Schmidt and Elodie, following your gym challenge, you identified a Mr. Mimosas franchise not far from the Scientific District. You approached the bar as a recent Mos Deep City gym victor and noticed none other than your favorite formerly evil power couple, Archibald and Maximilian, seemingly on vacation. Archie is dressed in aquatic apparel, very much like Schmidt's scuba suit. However, Archie's is much more tight and it's resisting against his rippling muscles. Overall blue with accents of white. He has also a gold snorkel hanging around his neck and he's wearing flippers on his feet. Maxie has managed to make himself comfortable for vacation by identifying the only long-sleeved Hawaiian shirt in existence, red with black and white floral patterns, and his khaki pants appear to be the long-legged version of cargo shorts, with pockets that are bursting full of trinkets that he believes may prove useful at some point. Archie immediately recognizes the two of you and says, "Well, keel all it all, I'll be running into those two blasted Quacko Paco at a Mr. Mimosa's yet again." And he goes in for a handshake for each of you. Do you shake his hand?
I'm going to pull both of them into a hug.
Oh, you're going to do the power move, but bring it to a hug?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Throw a d20 at that.
Yeah.
19. Like a respectful step back while this is going down.
Okay, sure. Archie got an 18 on his d20, so it's like, yeah, he's like surprised. He's like, yeah, we're tight. Like, it's, yeah.
So cool, yeah.
He it leaves from the hug and he pats you on the shoulder and he says, "I'm gonna call you my niece now, okay?" And then he goes to to shake Schmidt's hand. Do you shake his hand back?
Yeah. Okay. Schmidt will do like a dainty kind of little, not like exactly limp hand, but like not like he's okay. Not going to match his grip for sure.
Okay, cool. Just d20 that just for fun.
18.
Nice. Okay, also very good roll. Archie just seems really pleased to be seeing the two of you. He's maybe had something to drink, but he's definitely a social guy, but he likes you guys a lot. What can be said? That's kind of just the truth of it all.
Now ask me to make a perception check.
Hold on. what are you trying to do something? Do you need something to do?
No, I just wanted, I had a high roll. I felt like I needed to get a roll low one.
Okay, sure. Fuck it. Roll it.
it's a 3.
Yeah, okay, cool. After this exchange with Archie, Maxie will kind of swivel in his stool and much more calmly will reintroduce himself and give a gentle nod and he'll say, "It's a pleasure to see the two of you again." Where's the rest of your party? There were three others, correct?
Three?
Maxie nods. He says, "Yes, there was the short, older gentleman with the long beard. There was the young, redheaded girl, and there was the pink-haired woman."
You can see kind of just like a darkness wash over Schmidt's face as he brings up.
Well, we the two of us just came from our gym challenge. Don't know where Cindy and Gimli, what they're up to right now. And we don't really know about Sam either.
Okay. I want Archie to roll an insight, but it'd be more fun just for a charisma roll from Elodie, just general, kind of on the vibe of delivering this knowledge.
24.
Okay, cool. Maxie, like, analyzes your statement and thinks about it and decides not to speak on it much more because that would be inappropriate and he doesn't want to make himself or anyone else uncomfortable. Archie says, "Sounds like my niece and nephew need a drink. Bartender, give me a round for these two." And he signals down a Mr. Mime who's wearing, like, a food service apron. And a Mr. Mime runs around and comes forward and brings out some mimosas, some very fancy mimosas with some fresh squeezed juice directly to Schmidt and Elodie. You can commiserate, chat, drink as much as you like. I am curious how much you are intending to drink in this session.
Schmidt is going to drink whatever is in front of him.
Okay, so like
after the encounter he had, yeah, he had like a darkness wash over his face. Yeah. Like, I need to drink everything now. So the second the drink hits the table in front of him, it is like down the back of his throat.
Okay. Elodie, what's your thoughts on drinking right now? You have a bit of a reputation, but I'm curious.
I feel like I think she's learned her lesson. I think she'll probably only go for one or two.
Okay, fair enough. I will get con saves from you later as you're enjoying. There will be a slight seating rearrangement. Archie is just so charismatic and bubbly, and he feels really particularly drawn to Elodie. He'll kind of push Maxie out of the stool, and Archie will plop next to Elodie. Maxie will move around and sit next to Schmidt, and they will engage in various conversations. Maxie will kind of just kind of keep quiet because he knows that Schmidt's having a tough time, and Maxie has made a role, and he's trying to bring up a conversation that he thinks that the both of you would enjoy participating in. And Maxie pulls out, like, from one of his cargo short pockets, like, a little coin that seems to be kind of old and perhaps from a different region made out of rare metal. And it has a picture of a flaming bird on it. He shows it to you and he says, "You ever heard of this Pokemon before, Schmidt?"
"No, I haven't." And then Schmidt, like, downs the last of his drink and says, "Bartender, can I have another?"
Maxie will give a nod to the Mr. Mime to ensure that it goes on the Maxie and Archie tab.
"Oh, no. You don't have to."
Maxie says, "No, I insist. Allow me. I'm going to give you a spiel about Moltres anyways in a minute here." And Maxie will insist on painting. He's just going to ramble to you about Moltres while you're drinking. It seems to be a trend that nerdy older men gravitate towards Schmidt in bars to ramble at him.
Schmidt, like, goes to pick up his second drink, and then he has, like, flashbacks to, like, the bar with Amori. He's like, "I feel like I've been here before."
Exactly. No, that's the exact feeling. And it's clear that Maxie's maybe just like, he likes you guys and he knows he brought up something that maybe he shouldn't have. That's a soft spot. So he feels uncomfortable. So he doesn't want anyone else to feel uncomfortable. So he's rambling about legendary fire type Pokemon. That's like what he's doing. Archie is having quite the ruckus with Elodie. He's trying to like sing sailor shanties. Will you join him, Elodie?
Absolutely.
Okay. Give me a performance, please.
19.
Fantastic. Yeah, you guys killed it. While, you know, the volume kind of picks up, it's already kind of noisy here. It's brunch time mimosas, so it's kind of loud already. But Archie, just after exchanging pleasantries with Elodie, just bursts into sailor song. And Elodie knows some of the words and sings along and harmonizes, and it's amazing. And the whole bar is kind of into it. The only person who's not really engaged is Maxie, who's just like very quietly under his breath, just rambling about Ho-Oh now. And then, you know, just all these other powerful fire type Pokemon, Heatran, just talking to Schmidt about it just because he thinks it's interesting and he's trying to distract Schmidt. Perhaps this is where I will ask for some con saves from Elodie and Schmidt. We will just say, if you're having maybe two, maybe three drinks, DC 15 sounds like fun.
Okay, I made a 15.
Okay,
so
I kept typing. No, I kept going back and forth. Okay, sorry.
Let me. This is my logic with this. Okay.
Yes.
Ties favor the attacker, right?
Yes.
I think the drink is the one attacking here.
Okay. You can choose to fail a save if that is what you want. We've been doing this shit for like 3 years, and when the gym challenges kept coming up and I kept giving different answers. Ties favor the attacker in terms of armor class. If you're making a save, the keyword is meets it, beats it, right? Mm-hmm. So I was botching that in the gym challenge. That being said, as I just said, you can choose to fail a save always. So do you choose to fail the save, perhaps?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
It'll be fun. We'll have another Drunk Schmidt episode.
Yeah, we love Drunk Schmidt. And, it, you know, thematically, canonically, it kind of makes sense in this situation. Mm-hmm. Elodie, how are you doing?
I got an 11.
Okay, Elodie's feeling drunk too. They're drinking it up.
Let's do it.
The singing's getting a little sloppy. you know, they're having a good time. They're on an island again. Maybe they didn't have a long enough break being on a continent in between being on islands, but, you know, they're having a good time one way or another, as is Archie and Maxie, despite their disparate personalities.
Schmidt starts his third drink, and as Maxie's talking about Ho-Oh, he, like, kind of leans into him drunkenly. He's like, hey, I know that one.
Yeah. Very good. Maxie enjoys that. Give a disadvantaged religion or history check.
Oh, we love disadvantage. Okay, disadvantage. I got a 2 on the die. I know, okay. I'm proficient, but
sure. So that's like, so it's 6 like or something.
7. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it's clear that Schmidt knows some stuff about Ho-Oh, but not as much as like Maxie's rambling about these other fire types. But Maxie still listens, and he says, "Oh, you know, you're very well informed for a young man." Enjoys having this conversation while Elodie and Archie enjoy singing songs together. Cindy and Gimli, even though you are about half a mile away, you cannot help but hear the uproarious sound that is Archibald from what formerly Team Aqua singing a sailor shanty. Mm-hmm. It is crystal clear. It's up to you if you want to keep playing on the beach, but it is something that you notice. Do you do anything with this information?
The gay uncles beckon us.
Of course. Oh, if I must, and then I stop wiring the electricity that was to my chateau.
That's awesome.
I was like, I guess some person will just live in this. I don't know.
That's really, really cool. Two things. First, I want Gimli to make that same perception check that Cindy failed, and I also want Gus to make a constitution save.
Okay, so first perception. Mm-hmm. Not wonderful. I got an 11.
Okay.
And then Gus with a con. That was pretty good. I got an 18.
Okay, pretty high. Cool. Couple things. One, you see, as you turn around to the sound of the uproarious singing, from, like, kind of shortly after the hotel, the seaside resort that you're staying in, you mm-hmm. see the gathering of your son, Gimli, and TMF, the Tiberius Matthias Ferris Hart, the man who is clad in armor from Sinnoh. It seems that they have gathered, and they're just, like, eating sandwiches. They're just hanging out next to each other. A little bit in the distance.
I forgot he was here.
And for Gus, you notice as he surprisingly dexterously, or maybe even just on accident, is avoiding the chomping of a Shelder who is trying to bite onto his body. But he has managed to avoid it seemingly on accident because he's not very fast, but that's just the way his body twitches. He's good. Do you do anything with either of these pieces of information?
I think Gimli's probably fine. I think when Cindy goes over to see the gay uncles, I'll check on him.
Sure.
Actually go over to them.
Very good. Do you all recall your Pokemon is another question.
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Gimli's certainly got a motley crew of
yeah,
monsters.
Yeah, don't want to leave them all in about.
Yeah, it might cause harm. Or not harm, but some suspicion. Okay, very good. You also notice with your DC 10 perception that you got an 11 on, that you may have seen this before, but kind of a ways to the northern part of the island near the industrial district, a little past the Pokemon Center, you do see a Rite of Learning establishment. And it seems like there are some trainers gathered outside of it as well. Cindy, are you just heading to the Mr. Mimosas?
Yeah.
Okay. Gimli, you're going to stop and check in with your son and TMF, correct?
Yes.
Okay, you do so. The TMF is kind of adorned in almost like knight-like armor. It just seems a little more modern, but it seems to have been constructed similar to Schmidt's arm, probably from like the shed metal of Skarmory and Corviknight. So that is the vibe that it gives. And he has kind of the classic knight kind of visor look to it, which he has currently open right now. It's the first time you've seen his eyes, and he's enjoying like a sandwich. It's reminiscent. Maybe you guys can help me think of a Pokemon equivalent to the word banh mi, because that is the type of sandwich that they're enjoying. It's like a tepig pork cilantro kind of vegetable, somewhat spicy sandwich.
A bonsly.
Bonsly. I mean, yeah, maybe.
Hell yeah.
That's pretty funny. Yes, whatever that is, they're enjoying it. For the first time you see part of TMF's face, it's clearly grizzled and kind of scarred. He has dark skin and like light hair and just like these really deep eyes, and it seems familiar to you as a Sinnoan resident who worked in... Did you live in Canaleve, or did you work in Canaleve?
I worked in Canaleve originally from Orbo.
You know that the native Sinnoans who live in Iron Island are usually like very tall and like use metal a lot. And you would understand that, you know, TMF told you that this is where he's from, and he fits the description perfectly. As you stumble into their conversation, you hear Jim Lee kind of talking about like, yeah, you know, we're just laying out plans very discreetly, not giving away any huge information. But he's saying as you approach, yeah, we're waiting to meet a friend. We know that there's something happening tomorrow, and, you know, just blah, 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 talking about stuff. And TMF says, you know, oh, I've heard of your friend. I heard that a powerful trainer of the Hoenn region who is a former champion actually lives on this island. And Jim Lee's like, oh, it's really interesting. Who is it, Bubba? And they're just talking about it. What do you say to them?
Just checking what they're up to.
Sure.
Like, you guys doing okay over here? Got one of the Bond's Lees, huh? They're pretty good.
Very good. Yeah, they're enjoying it. Jim Lee's kind of stuff in his face. He's wearing very relaxed clothes, like very loose kind of swim trunk shorts, tank top. He looks like very chill for like the first time. You can tell that there's still kind of something unsettling going on in his mind, but his expression is very calm. Mm-hmm. TMF is still like dressed as a knight, and you can only imagine that he feels very hot, but who knows? They inform you that they're feeling good and just hanging around, and Jim Lee asks if you have any plans for the day and if you want his help with anything.
No, I just wanted to see if you guys are doing all right. You know, we're about to check in if you want to go see Archie and Maxie. I don't know if you've met up with them at any point, but they're kind of a hoot.
Jim Lee clarifies. He says, are those the old gangsters from Team Aqua and Team Magma?
Oh, gangster Shrekster. Yeah. Those guys.
Jim Lee laughs and he says, yeah, maybe. I might check that out. I know there's a couple touristy spots I wanted to look at before Red showed up, so I was going to just check some things out.
Well, let me know if you want your old band to join you, if you feel a little bit of a hang, as the kids say.
Jim Lee says, yeah, you sure know what the kids say.
Oh, I know all the kids say.
Yeah. He gives you kind of a loving yet kind of also dismissive, like, I'm enjoying my sandwich, you can go now, kind of.
I gotcha.
And he says, you know where to find me.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll just be over here hanging out with Archie and Maxie, just your old dad, you know, you know where to find me if you want to hang out with your old band, you know, whatever.
Jim Lee is very appreciative of the sentiment, for sure. But he also needs some alone time because he's kind of been through it lately.
Sure.
So do you catch up with Cindy and enter Mr. Mimosas?
Sure, yeah.
Great. Yeah, you do that. Again, it's a little poppin'. I described it earlier, but you get the idea. It's around brunch time, maybe 1 p.m. at this point, getting closer to later in lunch. Archie and Elodie are singing sea shanties and having a great time, like swinging their mimosas around. They're splashing all over the place. Schmidt looks a little downtrodden. He's kind of hunched over and maybe he's like not feeling super well. And Maxie's just yapping at him. It seems like Maxie and Archie nor the other members of the Paco notice that you're here. Do you make yourself known? What do you do?
Ayo.
Just kind of walk in and go, Ayo.
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 Yeah, this totally works on Archie. He stops his song, he turns around, and he goes, there's the little one, come here! And he, like, now that he's drunk, he wants a hug. So will you give Archie a big old sailor hug?
Absolutely.
Okay. Since we've been doing it, just roll a d20.
18.
Great, yeah, you guys are rolling, like, 18, 19 on these Archie exchanges. Yeah, he gives you a big old squeeze. You feel like your bones might pop out of your body just with how muscular he is, but he definitely doesn't squeeze you hard enough to hurt you. Puts you back down, pats you on the head, and then he turns and offers Gimli a firm handshake, and he looks very stern all of a sudden. Do you shake his hand?
Of course.
Okay, roll just d20 for fun.
Do I add strength to that?
we've just been doing straight d20s, so...
Okay.
Unless you want to like go for the grip, then yeah, you can add strength.
I do want to go for the grip.
Okay,
yeah,
go for it then.
So got a 16 then?
Okay, yeah. Very firm handshake. Archie's like very pleased. He's a pretty strong, muscular man himself.
Yeah.
And he's almost like twice your height. And, you know, gives you a good handshake. And he says, good to see you again, sir. Like very formal, but you can tell he's overdoing it because he's a little drunk.
Yeah, likewise, yeah.
He will offer to buy both of you drinks, and then he remembers, like, wait, how old are you? And he points at Cindy and asks how old she is.
You don't remember?
He'll roll a history check. He certainly does not. No, he puts his thumb and his forefinger on his chin, and he scratches, and he says, I don't remember. You look like you're right at that cusp age. You remind me your age again? I don't want to get in trouble here.
I just turned 15.
Archie gives you a big old thumbs up, and he says, no drinks. All right, Gimli.
I have a virgin mimosa.
I love responsible gay uncle.
Yeah. I was about to cut him off if she was going to lie. So I'm like, no. That is a child.
I love Virgin Mimosa because that is just orange juice. That's so
sick. Orange juice and club soda.
Very good. Yeah, I guess they could make it bubbly, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Archie will pay for your drinks. Do it up. Maxie has certainly not noticed you. Schmidt, you can notice with the DC 11 perception if you want. If you want, you don't have to even roll.
So good at just perception checks.
Oh, I got a 19. Schmidt notices fucking everything. Schmidt has had so many drinks, he is fucking ascended.
You're transcended, yeah.
Everything that happens in the bar is in Schmidt's awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a date that's going really poorly between some two young kids in the corner. There's a group of like church ladies who all got together. Today's not Sunday. Today's Saturday, I think. Regardless, they just love Mr. Mimosas and they're having a hoot and hollering time and they're gossiping about Ethel. Classic old lady gossip. There's some younger kids who are on vacation from like a school maybe in Lily Cove or something, and they're getting stressed about their classes and their tests because it's the new semester. You have downloaded this whole place, and just you are especially cognizant of the Mr. Mimes around you and how they are a little uncanny, but they're doing their jobs well and they aren't threatening, but they are certainly Mr. Mimes. Do you do anything with this information?
Schmidt's going to walk up to the old ladies and be like, oh my God, what did that bitch Ethel do?
Yeah, roll a charisma. I'll give you a slight bonus because you're tipsy.
I got another 19.
Oh, shit. Yeah, the old ladies like immediately like pull you in and like grab you a seat. And Maxie just kind of shakes his head, kind of disappointed because he thought he was having a good conversation.
He'll like hand over Maxie because he doesn't want to leave him alone. He'll be like, talk about Ethel.
Oh, okay. You bring him over to the conversation.
Like wave him down, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so these grannies, there's like six or so of them, and they're all just drinking and like having like little snacks. They say, oh, Ethel. You didn't hear? We heard that she fished all of the Carvana and Magikarp out of the reservoir down by Mount Pyre. And the park rangers are looking to figure out who did it. And that woman, she just can't stop fishing. And all the women at the table, she's obsessed. She can't stop. She's just such an angler. And they're just gossiping.
There's no way one woman fished all of them.
The woman you're talking to nods and she says, it's true. Ethel's a monster with the rod. And everyone's nodding. They're like, yeah, unbeatable.
I'm gonna be mature about it.
Yeah, the monster with the rod's kind of wild.
A monster with the rod.
That's a crazy thing to say.
Listen, they're old women. They it's either a cute, innocent, like just term that they're using, or they totally know and it's funny to them. You know,
that's funnier.
That's how old women are.
Actually, yeah, they will say monster with a rod, and then Schmidt will like blush a bit.
Very good. Yeah, they like you. Maxie feels a little confused as to why he was dragged in, but. That is all good. He had not much of a say in the matter. At some point, if he finds a lull in the conversation, he might start asking one of these women about Heatran, but he hasn't gotten that comfortable yet. So.
You guys know about Heatran?
What do you think about Heatran?
What do you guys think about Heatran?
anything else? Any sorts of things that you guys want to do? This is clearly like a just finished a gym battle, beach day, relaxing kind of vibe. In this current moment with the information you have, is there anything you want to do, say, any checks you want to make, etc.?
I don't know. I built my sandcastle condo. Mm-hmm. What does Cindy do on the beach? What were you up to?
I'm just running in and out with the waves, the fucking birds do.
Oh, okay.
Just being a chaos gremlin.
Of course, like the birds.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys can enjoy this more or less for as long as you like. You hear some like stirrings and some murmurs of some people coming in and out. The grannies seem like they're going to stay here till close, but the other groups come and go. Archie and Elodie will keep saying sometimes just gossip, chat, etc. Trainers come in, those who have like won the gym challenge, those who have lost. It seems like it's a busy gym day. You hear some trainers like gossiping about the Rite of Learning. A couple families come through. One family in particular comes in with like a very large, dark furred cat with very round cheeks. The adults get some drinks and the kids have some virgin mimosas, as you said. And they discuss about how they're disappointed that the tours for the Space Center are closed today. And... let's see. Maybe one more. Gimli.
Yep.
You can give me another. Who hasn't rolled a funny perception? Actually, Elodie. Elodie can give me the perception.
Gotcha.
Because I think
you got it, dude.
Then everyone gets one.
You got it.
15? You got it.
15. That is good enough. Yeah. One man enters, probably now closer to around 2 or 2:30 p.m. He's by himself. He has an air of like significance to him. He's just shy of 6 feet tall. He has kind of a brilliant platinum-colored spiky hair. He's dressed very nicely. Like, he has nice clothes. It's not excessively formal, but, like, high-quality fiber, you can tell. He's not enjoying the beach. It seems like maybe he's spending time in a library or a study. He has various Pokeballs adorned to his belt, and he finds a table by himself, and he just has a bunch of, like, gems and geodes and rocks, and he just spills them out onto the table, and he just starts examining them, and it piques your curiosity a bit.
At the bar?
This feels oddly familiar.
Hey, he's the guy who like just brings the book, you know, sits in the corner at the bar, just enjoys the ambient noise.
You don't have to necessarily do anything with this information, but he has a vibe for sure.
Yeah. It's not a cop. He has a vibe. I don't think you're going to talk to him, right?
Yeah, honestly, if he's not a cop, I'm not interested.
I'm really into geologists, you know.
Are there any cops at Mr. Mimosa's?
So you can roll a cop check.
Cop check, baby.
Yeah, that's more like a boyfriend check, am I right?
For Elodie, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Kilf check.
Kilf?
Not Kilf.
Wow.
Yeah, not the Kilf, dude.
What about Oilf? Officer.
Oilf?
It's funnier to say.
Oilf is really funny.
Yeah.
Now you're drunk, so it's Ossifer I like to fuck.
Yeah. Oh, true. Okay, Elodie, what'd you roll for, or Cindy, who's rolling the cop check?
That's so funny.
I mean, I can.
If you want.
A nat 20.
Wow!
Yeah, a baby!
Holy
nat
shit.
One on perception, but nat 20 for cops.
Okay.
Well, you're a little criminal, so.
Yeah, give me a second, I need to... What
invent a cop real quick. Why are the police here?
Well, a net 20 worthy cop, right? That's the one.
He's got
the hottest
one
cop,
hot
dude.
Cop.
Okay, sure. Why not? Here's what's gonna happen. Nat 20 on the cop check is gonna be pretty significant cop things happening for sure. Two cops enter, of which the lot of you recognize.
Oh.
Except for Schmidt, actually. Schmidt is going to be vaguely familiar with one of these cops, and then the other one not so much. However, one of them isn't particularly copy at all. Let me describe them. One of them is like a late 30s, early 40s woman, and she is wearing kind of vacation gear. She's just like, you know, you can tell she's a cop. Whether or not she's undercover or off duty, not sure. The other man is in a brown trench coat. And he is just always dressed that way. These two were involved in your interrogation for your crimes in Doofertown. They are Delaney and Looker, the international police agent.
Yeah.
I don't know if Schmidt met Looker. I don't know if Schmidt knows who this is,
no.
But he didn't make the role.
Nah, I don't think so.
Additionally, they come in with Gothitelle, and Elodie gets the sensation that whether or not it's intentional, if you guys tried to leave right now, you would not be able to.
Damn it.
Oh.
We got shadow tagged.
Oh, shit. Shit, guys, we didn't pay our fucking fines yet.
Regardless, Elodie, can you also give me a stealth on that, please?
Yeah, okay.
Unless you want to be seen.
Not really, no.
Oh, shit, oh, fuck.
Oh, shit, fuck.
Are we fighting the cops right now?
No.
Are we fighting I got a 15.
Okay, cool. Looker and Delaney... You're not quite sure if they're off duty or undercover or whatever they're doing. It seems like if they have noticed you, they don't care, or they haven't noticed you. It's one or the other. They go to the bar and they get drinks from the Mr. Mimes, and they sit and they have a kind of a quiet conversation. Not like hushed, but they're just kind of hanging around. And Looker is like fidgeting with a coin. He's just kind of twirling it between his fingers. And Gothitelle is standing around, and again, maybe Delaney isn't realizing it, but if anyone tried to leave right now, they would not be able to.
It's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, it is.
Seriously,
she's just walking around like that. There's people that are just like, I just want to go home today.
I guess potentially she dragged anyone else with her, like,
yeah, they're just like, oh god, wait. There's a whole crowd of people behind them.
Yes, that is not the case, unfortunately, but there are in fact cops here, two pretty relevant cops. Whether or not Elodie wants to strike up conversation with them is a different story.
I think we're gonna try to lay low.
Elodie, do we have to leave? I can dig a hole underground.
What the fuck? I mean, I think we're fine for now.
No, you
okay, cool. Bartender, can I have another?
The bartender will give you another. The Mr. Mime will make eye contact with Archie to verify that he's still paying for it, and it seems that he is. You may enjoy another Mimosa. You're still with the grannies, or did you move on?
Schmidt's feeling a little social today. He'll move on to
a rock guy.
He'll start harassing the couple.
Oh, the, who are having
he'll
a bad
be like, listen, he'll be like, listen, you two need to appreciate each other while you have each other, because you're not always going to be around. Oh, you don't know when a meteor is going to blow up.
You,
what
yeah, you never know when the end of the world is going to happen, you know? It could be in 2 days.
Hell yeah. Give me just a charisma on that, please.
It could just happen in 2 days, bro.
This is awesome.
Modifier. That's a 0 modifier, so that's an 8.
Nice, yeah. They're scared, dude. Like, they're roughly yeah, Sadie's age.
Yeah, you never know. Meteor's gonna come out and shoot your girlfriend in the head, you know? Yeah. Like...
That's pretty much the vibe.
Like, he like puts his arm around the guy and he's like, look, you gotta be really careful. She could be like an evil leader of like an organization or something. Like, you never know. You gotta vet these things first.
Yeah.
The girl is like terrified and like looking to leave. The guy kind of like is nodding and he's like, you might be onto something. Like, something's not right with her. Like, that's why this isn't gonna work, you know? And the girl actually like kind of is crying and gets up to leave, and then she can't because of Shadow Tag. So she's like, what's going on? I'm not evil, I swear.
That's so sick.
She's actually gonna make a check. Oh, she does great. She sheepishly gets behind Delaney and like taps her on the shoulder, and she's like crying, and then Delaney like immediately knows what's going on. She's like, oh yeah, silly me, Shadow Tag. And then she recalls Got the Tell, and then the girl runs away, and the guy's just like, thank you, strange man. Yeah, you know what, it was never gonna work. I was trying to tell her that, but I think you gave me some insight that makes me feel a lot better about my decision.
Somehow.
Look, this man look, is never going to be in a healthy relationship.
No, not after that. Every woman, he's like, hey, are you part of a secret evil organization? And it's like, no.
Schmidt's like patting him on the back. He's like, I'm glad it worked out for one of us. And then he like sheepishly moves on to the next person.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Chaos and Mr. Mimosas.
That's so funny.
Seriously, we fucked up this Mimosas.
Yeah,
Paco's but now he can leave without Delaney knowing.
That's true. Good.
This worked out nicely.
Before Schmidt goes to harass someone new, does anyone else want to throw in a dice roll or do a thing?
I'm curious to know if Maxie picks up on the like, you never know when you're gonna get when your girlfriend's gonna get hit in the face by a meteor.
Sure. Yeah, you can roll, and he will roll to see if he notices that. He's quite observant.
I have to roll?
No, sorry, Archie. No, Maxie. Maxie will roll.
Maxie's okay. Rolling, yeah.
What did Cindy get? For insight.
17 on the die.
Okay.
Insight,
it should only go up, right?
Plus 2.
Yeah, so.
So 19.
Quite good. Yeah, it's pretty clear that like Maxie was like listening to Schmidt's conversation, and then like there's a look of like recognition. Not a full story explanation, but he's like, ah, that's the source of the problem. And it's clear that he somewhat understands. Anyone else making any sorts of rolls?
Now I want to see this unfold. Where do we go next?
Elodie, checking?
No, I'm all good.
You're all good? Okay.
Yeah, we're all just like sipping our mimosas.
We're locked in. Yeah, we're locked in. Like, oh God, where's he going?
We're just
now?
Sitting at the bar, like watching this go down.
Fantastic. All right, what table's he going to next, guys?
Schmidt will roll a d4 to determine exactly that.
Oh, hell yeah. I rolled a 2.
Okay. You go over to the important-looking man who seems to be sitting by himself looking at rocks. He initially seems like he raises an eyebrow as you approach, like he doesn't know who you are, but he, after taking a look, he kind of pulls up a seat, and he's like, would you like to join me, sir?
It's like, do you know Omori? You remind me of a guy named Omori.
He's going to make a history check. This man does not recognize anyone by the name of Omori.
Is your name also Schmidt?
This
I'm
man.
Sorry, I've been watching Legends of Arventis, and they're just a bunch of shitters. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I gotta get good with that kind of shit. That's good. No,
they're both named John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Yes, that is
holy fuck.
No,
wait, his name is my name.
This man's name is not Schmidt. He will say, I'm sorry, my name is not Schmidt. My name is Steven. I am a rock collector and an enthusiast. Would you care to look at some specimens with me?
I'm not really a rock guy, but I have a rock guy. I know a rock guy that I think he'd be cool to talk to. And he like starts waving down Gimli. He's like, "Hey, Gimli, I got some rocks over here."
Wait, there's rocks?
Do you join him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Schmidt,
I'm
like,
completely
stealthily.
I just get excited about rocks.
Schmidt, like, as stealthily as he can, snarkingly, like, shifts places with Jip, with Gimli. Like it's like a full swap. Like they switch places.
Very good.
Just the full pivot.
Steven will then introduce himself to Gimli. He says, "Hello, my name is Steven."
Oh, nice to meet you. What, you have a collection of rocks here. What are you looking over?
He says, "Well, I recently took a trip to Meteor Falls and procured some specimens and thought I would give them a look. Myself and my father, both avid collectors of gems and minerals. Rare stones can be quite magical, don't you think?"
"I agree. Encountered many in my time as a miner."
He holds a mysterious kind of milky purple one closer to his face, and he says, "It's pretty peculiar. It seems that anything that is going to be imbued with significant magic tends to be a stone. Isn't that unusual?"
"No, rocks are just magical like that. They contain many powerful essences. They tell the story of the world."
Steven nods. He is rather charmed that a man such as yourself has a similar philosophy about the properties of stones and gems and how they are truly special. He will ask you, he says, "Your friend over there, he has a prosthetic. Is it made of Skarmory feather?"
"Well, I think it was from Skarmory feathers. I believe so."
Steven nods. He says, "It seems to be that way, except they have a different quality about them. I wonder if it was a particularly interesting Skarmory or if perhaps it was combined with other mineral components."
"Well, you said you were in Meteor Falls. Did you happen to get to the Draconid village?"
Steven looks curious. He says, "Oh, that place is usually shrouded in secret, and it's quite the trek to get there. Have you been there yourself?" As he redirects the question.
"Oh, yeah, of course. There was a Skarmory there that was quite peculiar. It might have been where he got the feathers from it."
Steven's going to make a roll of sorts. He has intuited that despite your charming and friendly and just kind of boisterous demeanor, he is realizing that there's more than meets the eye to you, Gimli.
I am a transformer, yes.
Steven
turns into a truck.
Drives away.
Oh, no. Not again.
Oh, I gotta roll out. Sorry.
Yeah, Steven says, "Yes, I've been there before. It's been quite some time. I do know it's quite difficult to traverse to. The properties of the stones in Meteor Falls are quite significant, quite unique. It's always a pleasure to spend some time there." As he continues parsing through the rocks.
"Do you mind if I pass through with you, take a look at some stuff? I'm always captivated by new rocks."
Steven says, "My pleasure. Happy to join in the festivities with another stone enthusiast."
"Lovely.
Sure. Roll a
check.
Yeah, just a rock check. It would be intelligence for sure. I want to give you proficiency on it, though."
"Okay. 17.
Yeah, pretty good. You can identify some of these. Some of them are valuable to your line of work. Some of them are not. You know that... Some of the ones that are valuable to your mind of work contain components that are utilized in the construction of technologies like box links and pokeballs and things that are used for trainers. You see others, like you find a geode that you're pretty certain that if you smash it open, you would find a revive crystal in there. There's some pretty unique stuff going on. While you're parsing through these, you could see at Steven's hands, he has like really incredible jewelry. He's got some fingers. He's got some rings on his fingers that are just like giant, like incredible stones. Really, like someone with a lot of wealth would have to procure those, no doubt. Anything else? Anything else for Gimli and Steven while they look at rocks?
I don't think so. We identified some key ones, so I think it'd be pretty cool.
Okay. Before I move on, Steven will say, "You must be a pretty powerful adventurer if you have found your way to Draconid Village in the past. I would recommend, if this is your first time here, pay a visit to the Rite of Learning. They may do you well."
"I think that was my next stop anyway, but I appreciate the advice."
He says, "Of course.
Schmidt has found his way to the table, like, behind Gimli. And he, like, kind of half turns around and whispers to Gimli, like, "Ask him his last name." And then he dives on the floor and rolls away to the next table.
Just rolls away.
Yeah, he does do that.
We're gonna get kicked out of this Mimos.
Maybe just Schmidt. I will not ask him his last name.
Okay, great. I will ask Schmidt to roll a disadvantage stealth check, please.
Oh, hell yeah.
That roll.
It's giving Harry Potter musical.
You're not wearing your cape, are you? Or are you wearing your cape?
Yeah. Oh, Schmidt's definitely wearing his cape.
Okay. Oh, he definitely like flourishes the cape before he rolls like yeah. into his game, and then full yeah. crossover like.
Very good.
Shit. What is spelled? It's Dex. Of I know this. I rolled really low, but Schmidt is stupid.
Yeah.
It's plus 10 on spell check, so that's a 12.
Okay. Yeah. The whisper that you give to Gimli was really not a whisper. You kind of like almost shouted it at him. And then you threw yourself on the floor and you did it kind of loud, kind of hard.
Please, like a thud.
just death drop into a snake slither out.
Pretty much. Yeah. Please roll a d6.
Oh, I'm taking damage.
Five. Yeah, you take 5 points of damage. As you just fall on the floor after shouting, ask him his last name at Gimli.
Death drops onto the floor.
Additionally, the stealth roll was not quite high enough to not attract the attention of Looker and Delaney. Delaney will kind of like swivel in her seat and watch you like slink away on the floor and like roll her eyes. Actually, no, she doesn't know you. Just kidding.
Does Schmidt recognize that they're police?
Probably not, because he wasn't interrogated by them.
Okay.
No.
So they're just people to him. Okay.
Yeah, they're just people.
No. They're on the talk list now.
Looker, like Delaney will like get up and like be like, "What are you doing down there?" and like try to pick you up. And Looker is like whispering to a Mr. Mime who is on the other side of the bar. Do you get lifted up by Delaney or do you just keep slithering?
Schmidt, like whenever somebody goes to pick him up, he just kind of like gives up.
Like a cat or something.
Yeah. Exactly.
Very good. Yeah.
He's just like fine.
Delaney will like do that and like brush you off and be like, someone with a cape as fancy as this one shouldn't be rolling around on the ground. You gotta be careful. And you might need to drink some water. And she'll signal over to the Mr. Mimes that you might need some water.
Schmidt's like, that's judgmental.
She will say, I'll pretend I didn't hear that. I hope you have a great day. And she'll turn back to Looker unless you stop her. That being said, do you continue to harass someone else at this establishment?
Schmidt will return to the bar with Maxie.
Okay.
Cool. And then he'll be telling Maxie about like everyone he just met. He's like, okay, so I met these old ladies, right?
Yeah.
This woman named Ethel that finished up all the Carvana in the entire sea.
Misremembering some details.
The entire ocean.
Yeah. Ethel goes crazy, yeah.
There are no more Carvana in the whole world.
If Maxie's good at anything, it's really actively listening. That's like something that is very charming about him. So he will very intently and like professionally listen to all the things that you're saying about the people you've met. And he acts very engaged and interested, and it feels like comforting in a social way. Elodie, Cindy, are you up to anything in all this chaos?
I think I'm just like enthralled by the interactions watching, that Schmidt is having. That's yeah. Great.
Watching
and
it go
Gimli
down.
Too. Yeah.
Very good. Just checking.
Sipping
in.
On my virgin mimosa, pretending it's real.
Okay. Some time passes and 3:30 rolls around and the Mr. Mimes, while they cannot speak, they do ring a bell. Bing, ding, 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 ding. And it is apparently last call. They do not operate at night. They are, in fact, a mimosa place. So they will be closing soon. So if you have any more drink orders, you got to get them in.
Should I get 5 more for the road?
Roll a persuasion. This is going to Archie, by the way, the persuasion check.
Got a natural 20.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Archie's like, of course we get this man whatever he wants. And the mimes are like, he really shouldn't be drinking more, but they make it happen. They procure you 5 to-go mimosas, so add that to your inventory, please. Jeez. Anyone else last calling it?
They should call them Gomosas.
Why is that?
Gomosas. That's what I'm writing in my inventory.
Yeah, Mr. Gomosa. Yeah.
5 Gomosas.
It's just like in a cup carrier.
Yeah. That's pretty fantastic. And they have straws. Pink straws.
Schmidt is like sipping 2 of them at a time. He's like double fisting it. He's got 2 straws in his mouth. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's fucked up. You're fucked up.
Oh my god, it's like the recreation of the photo from like, or the drawing from the first time where he's got 2
kebabs.
Yeah, the 2 kebabs.
Yeah.
It's just 2 kebabs.
Always double fisting.
Some things never change.
Yeah, as much as Schmidt has changed, some things never change. That's really special. Elodie, do you have any final things you want to talk to Archie about? So Gimli, do you have any final things you want to talk to Steven about?
Well, I actually want to ask him why he's looking at these in this mimosas.
Sure. Steven will tell you. So I have a house here. This is where I spend most of my time, is in Mos Deep City. But sometimes I get all cooped up and I get too in the zone, and I end up ending the day and realizing I haven't interacted with anybody. And while I still don't love interacting with people, when I get out in public and do my kind of private activities, I feel more included and involved. And as an Elite Four member, I feel that it's important that I get to know my community in some way. And this has just been a good practice for me to be more ingrained with the community.
Oh, you're in the Elite Four, huh? That's impressive.
Steven nods. He says, I used to be champion.
Oh, incredible. So, well, I mean, I got to ask you about the state of governmental affairs. I haven't heard anything from May. I don't know if you have. Not happening.
Roll a persuasion.
Just drop secret government. Government secrets. I mean, we've been talking.
We've been talking. 19?
19's pretty good. Steven kind of leans closer to you and he says, you seem like a powerful trainer. To be honest, things have not been well. We've been dealing with significant upticks in crime and terror, and we're dealing with the Pokemon Center issue across the whole region, where none of our Pokemon centers are working. We believe it's a form of espionage or terrorism. And as you said, our champion, he looks around very carefully at all these folks, and he whispers to you. He says, we believe that someone close to her is being held as a hostage.
Mm. I know the feeling.
How will he interpret that? He's going to roll that. Yeah, he's going to
ask. Like, is someone being held hostage?
Yeah, he's going to ask that. He's like, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, we've been dealing with some, you've been telling me some things, so I'll tell you some things. We've been dealing with probably that same terrorist organization that you've been involved with. We're also trying to deal with as well, so. And I believe they have my wife, so.
Steven nods, and he says, Gimli, it's been a pleasure to meet you and discuss these things with you, and I hope I see you again soon, as he collects his thing.
I'm sure you will.
He'll wrap up all of his stones in a bag, and he'll leave one with you, the one that looks curiously like it might have a revive inside of it, and he will exit, unless you stop him.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Schmidt, like, sort of whispers to Gimli, but, like, loud enough the entire bar can hear it. And he's like, did you see his rocks?
Yeah, he left one for me.
Awesome! He gives, like, a up.
Yeah. You want to look at it? It's pretty cool.
Schmidt, like, gets up out of his chair, and then he, like, stumbles and falls on the ground.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Dope.
I was going to have you make con saves for penalties, but you're kind of just doing it anyways. So.
Yeah, you're signing your own penalties. Yeah, it's got you covered.
It's fine. Don't spill your gomosas.
Yeah, but be careful with those. Those are valuable.
They have the lid. They're like little sippy.
Yeah, they got lids. Like
Elodie and Cindy, anything before you get kicked out?
I will just ask Archie, where are you and Maxie headed next?
Archie says, well, I know Max is going to be getting a little tired, but I just have one more errand I want to run with him. I want to go check out Shoal Cave up to the north. I heard that it's high tide right now, and all sorts of cool water-type Pokemon come out at that time, so I just want to pay it a visit. And then after that, we'll probably just call it a night, sit on the beach, drink some more, have a good time. And he gives you a hearty smack on your shoulder.
That sounds lovely. I hope you guys have the best time ever.
He gives you a sailor salute and he says, I'm sure we will. Come on, Maxie. And he kind of pulls him. And Maxie will say, I bid you all adieu. Hope to see you again soon, as he's getting dragged away.
Those are my uncles. I'm going to say to everyone else.
those guys, they're my uncles.
Yeah.
They're my uncles.
Yeah.
They're great.
Schmidt is like gripping onto Maxie as he's being dragged away. He's like, listen, I just want you to know I appreciate you.
Roll a persuasion.
Hell yeah. persuasion. That is a five.
Okay. Maxie will kind of like kick you away a little bit and he says, drink some water.
Schmidt will point
drink
at him
water.
And say, that's judgmental.
Stop judging me.
Archie will comment on his partner's comment and say, no such thing as too much water. Be safe.
Oh, too true.
7 out of 10, too much water.
True.
We head into the rite of learning.
Let's do it. Drunk rite of learning. Drunk rite of learning.
Very good.
Yeah. Hell
we didn't
yeah.
take the wagon with us, did we? Fuck.
The wagon is, in fact, at the berry farm.
Fuck.
Fuck.
Schmidt needs a wagon ride.
Nah, I got you. I'll just pick you back.
Yeah, I send out basket.
Oh,
with the burning hot coals.
Hell yeah.
I tell Basket to cool her jets a little bit.
Okay, have Basket cool roll in cool nature, cool please. Jets.
Okay, the vision in my head is like Schmidt gets thrown by Gimli on top of Basket, and it lands with like a, you know, like when like a piece of meat hits like a grill or something. Like it's
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see how well Basket does here with the nature check.
What is nature based on?
I think it's wisdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It might be so,
int. Is it int? I never remember.
No, nah, I'm pretty sure it's wisdom. It's like experience based.
My sheet says int.
Oh, is it int? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Roll int.
Int is not good. That is minus -2.
Yep. So it's DC 10.
9.
So 9. Okay.
It was 11 on the die.
Yep.
So minus -2 is 9.
Basket tries her best, but cannot cool her jets. Gimli, are you throwing Schmidt onto the coals?
Oh, that's probably not such a good idea. I'll just carry him.
Okay, very good.
We could put the gomosas on Basket.
Yeah, they're gonna be boiling gomosas. Oh, that's God. Horrifying. Ew.
Mm, yummy. Mm,
nothing like a warm mimosa.
Dropping a coal like an ice cube. Or like it's one of those TikTok videos with like the flaming orb.
Yeah. You know? A flaming hot ball. God.
Yeah.
I love those.
God. No, let's not do that. Yeah,
yeah,
so
it sounds horrible.
You get kicked out of Mr. Mimosa's. It's about 4 p.m. You are in the corner of like the industrial district. You're on a higher elevation over on the eastern part of the island. Like the it gets hilly and less sandy and more grassy. You see a little ways to the north, slightly to your right, I suppose. There's the Pokemon Center. There's the Rite of Learning, and there is a few people gathered around something that is on the ground, kind of on the way to the Space Center, which is a hard right up the hill to you. Which direction do you go?
Probably towards the Rite of Learning, yeah? That's where we're going, guys.
Yeah.
Rite of Learning?
Rite of Learning time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. You enter a relatively new-looking building. You understand that this kind of organization is new to this region, coming from a different region. And there's a big sliding glass door that opens up. There's no line or anything to enter, and you are greeted by a man in a lab coat. He is holding in his arms, he's trying to manage holding a clipboard with a pen, as well as a medium-sized kind of brown, fluffy fox Pokemon with large ears. He spins around, and he realizes that there are trainers here, and he says, "Oh, welcome. Welcome to the Moss Deep Rite of Learning. My name is Dr. Claude Magnolia. What can I assist you with? Are you all trainers?"
"We are, yes."
He starts scribbling, and he says, "Oh, fantastic. Exactly the type of people that we need to see." He says, "At this Rite of Learning, we specialize in the investigation of a phenomenon known as infinity energy. This is an energy that is generated by all sources of life, but particularly Pokemon, and particularly when they undergo certain effects, transformations, or specifically evolution. If you would like to assist in our studies, you are more than welcome to. I would ask to evaluate Pokemon that you suspect may be on the brink of evolution, and if you would allow us to trigger that evolution within the confines of our laboratory, we can gather their infinity energy, and you will have unevolved Pokemon. What do you say?"
"Ooh."
I yeah. take out Key Lime immediately and shove her towards them.
Okay, sure. You do that.
Yeah.
Dr. Claude Magnolia says, "Oh, this is quite the particular Curlia. What makes you suspect that it's ready for evolution?"
"I can feel it."
Fantastic.
Also, they told me that at the other Rite of Learning.
Claude asks, which one is that?"
"Rustboro, I think."
"Yeah."
He nods and he says, "Okay, understood. You may be thinking Petalburg, but..."
Yeah. Same thing.
"Yes, of course. Dr. Takao Cosmo, he was assisting me. To be frank, yeah. all of our institutions are concerned with this topic recently, but ours in specific has this technology present to harvest this infinity energy. So by all means, if you're ready, you may do so. I did catch an interjection from Schmidt. What were you trying to say?"
Schmidt was just going to be like, he's going to go through all his Pokemon in his head and realize all his Pokemon are fully evolved, and he's going to say, "Fooey," and he's going to throw down his two empty mimosa cups and then pick up two more and start sipping again.
Oh, God. So you're going to spill them everywhere?
No, they're empty.
Oh, they're empty. Got it.
He's just littering. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. As he litters, a quadrupedal Pokemon comes and picks them up. It looks similar to the Pokemon that's being cradled in Dr. Magnolia's arms, but instead of a brown fluffy fox, it seems sleek and kind of an icy blue, and it has features that seem quite cold to it. It blows a gust of wind from its mouth and it pushes the cups into a corner where it is able to put them in a trash can.
Nice.
Elodie, Dr. Magnolia will put Curlia in like this chamber, key lime into a chamber, and close a door on it. Do you consent to the, not experiment, to the procedure?
Yes.
Okay. You see, as there's like Curlia, or I should say Iron Grace, key lime is bombarded with like some sort of ray or energy, and mysteriously, and in a way that shocks Dr. Claude Magnolia himself, she does not become encompassed in a brilliant white light. Instead, tiny little like green, like almost pixel size images begin apparating all over her body, running up and down. And for a moment, it seems that like she's like fully disintegrated into like a matrix, basically just like a series of codes and numbers. And then they begin to expand and build and enlarge. And then the chamber like fills with a smoke and you can't see anything from it. There's a capsule on the side of the chamber where this procedure is happening that fills with like a brilliant greenish glow. And Dr. Magnolia removes it and cautiously opens the door. A steam kind of billows out, and standing before you is a fairly metallic, robotic-looking creature, bipedal, resembling both Gallade and Gardevoir simultaneously. It's an Iron Valiant. Congratulations. She seems like fully robot at this point. Surely there's something organic that, you know, there's certainly some emotion that Key Lime remembers and associates with you in these adventures, but this is a very like mechanical, eerily mechanical creature, and the metal that comprises its body doesn't seem familiar to anything that you'd ever recognize. It seems that it has lights around its head and its chest as well that just kind of pulse with energy as Key Lime looks around with pixelated, computerized eyes absorbing the environment. Dr. Claude Magnolia will remove the capsule and hand it to an assistant who then hands it or just places it onto a counter. That beneath it is a sleeping fox Pokemon that resembles the Eevee, but it is red with tufts of yellow fur and is taking a nap, and it seems that it is emanating warmth. Dr. Claude Magnolia asks, "That's fantastic. This is a very unique energy signature. Very curious Pokemon you have there. Thank you for your contribution. Does anyone else have any Pokemon that they believe are on the cusp of evolution?"
I might have two.
He says, "Very well. Who would you like to start with?"
I'll start with Bud.
Okay, so you send out Bud?
Yeah.
Okay. In his classic Bud fashion, Bud will emerge from the Pokeball and be like, "Oh, wow, a new environment. This looks like a laboratory. What are we doing here? Are we doing experiments, research, science? I'm so excited by all of this. I can't wait to learn."
Yeah. We're going to do research, Bud.
Bud, more or less, what does he say? He's like, "Yippee, research." Like, he's excited. He's like running in circles. Dr. Claude Magnolia says, "Oh, this is a very vibrant individual, and he can speak. That's fantastic. Very intelligent." So he kind of kneels down because Bud can speak, and he says, "Would you do me the favor of entering that chamber?" And I'm assuming Bud would comply, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would think so.
Bud will walk in. He can't stay still, though. He's just spinning around, and he says, "Oh boy, I can't wait to see what happens." And Dr. Magnolia reconfirms your consent for the procedure.
Yep, good to go.
Okay, fantastic. He flips a switch on a control panel, and again, the rays are emanating in within the chamber, and unlike Key Lime, there is a very traditional, classic, what you're used to, brilliant white light that fills the chamber and empties into the capsule on the side. The whole chamber fills with smoke, and he opens the door, and out emerges something that resembles Bud, but with far more legs, somewhat of like a proboscis-like nose-slash-mouth that he's able to speak out of, and just a much more menacing figure, and just a larger mushroom body. This is, in fact, a Toad's Skrull. And Bud says to Gimli, "Wow, I feel like I have undergone a significant transformation." And he like is holding up his tentacles and like looking around, and he says, "Without you, Gimli, I may have never achieved this power." And he's certainly not pacing around in circles all the time, but he's still very investigative and interested, and he's having a good time.
Yeah. Mellowed out a bit. That's nice.
Yeah. Do you leave him to observe or do you recall him?
Well, I'll leave him to observe a little bit.
Sure.
We'll hang out.
Dr. Magnolia asks, you said that you had an additional one?
Yeah, I have the Slowpoke. It seemed like the Shelders were attracted to his tail, so I wasn't sure if that meant something.
Dr. Magnolia says, oh yes, Slowpokes do give off a pheromone when they're about ready to evolve. Very curious, though. Slowpoke does, in fact, have a branching evolution. So if you are correct that your Slowpoke is indeed ready for evolution, if you would prefer to evolve into Slowking, you would have to procure a King's Rock. Otherwise, it will evolve into Slowbro.
Do I have a King's Rock? Hold on. I might. I don't. Okay.
What is a King's Rock?
It's a rock in the shape of a crown.
Oh, in the shape of a crown. Yeah.
Crown.
Crown. I do not have one, so.
Okay. Dr. Magnolia says, additionally, if you were in possession of Galerica twigs, there would be additional forms that the Slowpoke may be able to evolve into, but those are rather hard to come by. King's Rocks are more common. Yeah,
for sure. Slowbro is fine if that's more than capable.
Dr. Magnolia says, we'll give it a whirl. And he replaces the capsule on the machine with a new empty one to harvest the Infinity Energy. And without giving, you know, excessive detail, once again, the process happens. Rays bombard Gus the Slowpoke, who isn't really realizing that anything's happening. A brilliant white light fills the chamber and is siphoned into the capsule that Dr. Magnolia removes, opens the chamber, and standing before you is a bipedal Slowpoke. Much hardier looking, much bulkier, and on its tail is some sort of creature that is canonically understood to be a Shelder somehow, but instead it's a spiky, spiny creature that has appeared on Slowpoke's, or I guess Gus's, tail. And Dr. Magnolia says, it is quite peculiar. While we are on the beach and in the ocean, I'm not sure how these Shelder are managing to find their way into this evolution process, but they always manage to do so. Yeah,
they always find a way. It's interesting.
Yeah. So you do, in fact, have a Slowbro. Congratulations. Who's next?
I kind of want to. I don't know if Larvastar is ready yet.
You can always try it to see what happens.
Yeah.
What is Larvastar's level?
8.
Okay.
But I did give her the EXP Gordon. They watched the gym battle.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So there's a little bit more there, hopefully.
Yeah.
I'll let Larvastar out and see where we're at.
You can have Larvastar try, sure. Dr. Magnolia says, oh, Larvastar. This one's constitution seems quite formidable. Perhaps this one was bred. Are you a competitive breeder?
It was a gift. The egg was a gift.
Dr. Magnolia nods and says, well, whoever gave it to you has a knack for Pokemon breeding. This is one of the healthiest Larvesta I've ever seen. If you'd like to subject it to the procedure and so we can harvest the Infinity Energy, we are welcome to do so if you're ready.
I hold out Larvastar, like look him in the eyes and be like, are you ready?
Roll a Pokemon handling.
Oh, that's a 2 on the die. My Pokemon handling's +6. So 8.
8, okay.
Not great.
Larvastar does like squirm and wriggle and squeal, but you can't interpret what it means. You just aren't in touch with this little buggy guy. But do you do it regardless?
We'll give it a try.
Okay. You put Larvastar in the chamber, is subject to the rays, and lo and behold, does begin to glow a brilliant white light. It seems that the XP gourd and the experience watching the gym battles was in fact sufficient. And the chamber opens, and you are greeted with a hardy, beautiful moth that has a black thorax and white fur all over its body, and just brilliant red glowing wings that, as they flap, they produce heat, and they drop like little scales or spores that give off intense heat. And it is a beautiful, fantastic, impressive Volcarona. Congratulations.
Hell yeah.
Dr. Magnolia is thrilled. He says, oh, we haven't had trainers with this many contributions in a long time. This is fantastic. Are there any other Pokemon that we can trigger evolution for?
Can I try Blueberry?
Sure. What level is Blueberry?
I believe he's 8.
Okay.
Double checking. Yes. Confirmed 8.
Okay. And was also watching like the gym battle and stuff, right?
Right. He was taking notes.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Did Patricia participate at all? I don't think Patricia did. Did she?
I don't think Patricia did, actually. You're right.
Patricia was in the lineup, but it never actually hit the field.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. Blueberry, the fluffy Altaria, or not Altaria, fluffy Swablu, will be handed over to Dr. Magnolia, and he says, oh, very well, a native species. And we'll insert Blueberry into the chamber, and the procedure begins. A new capsule fills with brilliant white light. And it was in fact sufficient. This is about the same level that Patricia evolved into Altaria, and the chamber opens and you see in fact another Altaria. However, this one is very different from Schmidt's. It reminds you closer to Tomatoma's, but not quite. It is incredibly fluffy. Its features of its beak and its talons are not nearly as predatory as Patricia's are. It's a very cute guy, just really ready to be fluffy and sing it up. He kind of waddles over to Elodie and is much larger now, potentially rideable. Again, not as large as Patricia, but just a really splendid Altaria to hang around with. Congratulations.
He's a cute guy.
He's a very cute guy. Very charming.
All right, fam. How do we... I've been, like, not wanting to evolve Basket, because then Basket's no longer a basket.
You don't have to evolve Basket.
Yeah, you definitely don't have to. He'll have... I mean, if you do want to, he'll still have the essence of Basket.
He's still Basket on the inside.
Right.
Just imagine a Colossal walking around just carrying shit. Like it's tiny little stub arms.
He's like, I just miss carrying stuff, bro.
I mean, we could try. I feel like we're going to need the evolutions, because why else would we be having this opportunity if it wouldn't help us with our adventure later? I'll send out Basket and see how they feel about it.
Sure. Yeah. You send out Basket. You hand it over Basket to Dr. Magnolia to check it out, see if it works.
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Magnolia will usher Basket into the chamber once again, load a new capsule up to the side of the device, and subject it to the evolution rays. However, this time it does not work. It appears that Basket has not quite reached the evolution threshold that it needs to achieve its final form. Dr. Magnolia retrieves Basket and says, I'm so sorry, we were on such a hot streak, but it seems like this one's just not ready.
It's fine.
It's fine. I'm not mad about it. It's okay. It's whatever.
Any other attempts?
Trubbish isn't mine, and I don't know if I'd get in trouble for just throwing Trubbish out.
I don't know if I want to deal with a Garbodor right now.
When he throws up, it's fucking massive.
Yeah, it's fucking bad.
And we all like die.
Yeah, the room passes away. He just comes to Thursday. It's like, does he throw up? Like, oh god.
So Trubbish is like really, really little. It's like level 6. It's a little guy.
Dr. Magnolia says, well, we do have busier times of day. You can always come by on a different day. If you ever change your mind or want to try something new, you're more than welcome. Additionally, this has been the most successful collection of Infinity Energy that we've had in weeks. I would like to offer a small gift to you all, as well as propose a sale if you enjoy the product. He pulls out a small tray that has 4 individual small, little like oval-shaped, little like they look like tiny pieces of paper. They're mostly like blue, maybe a hint of green or yellow on them. He says, this is a product that we are able to create using Infinity Energy, and it is quite expensive and quite rare and hard to come by, but thanks to your contributions, I'm willing to give you all a sample. This is known as an ability patch. This can unlock a Pokemon's hidden ability, if you so choose. Please collect these, and if you would like to procure more, we do create them here. However, they are a little expensive. We produce them for 400 Pokemon dollars.
I need to review everything I know.
This
hold
will
on.
Probably take the rest of our session, but let's take some time, think about it. Is there anything that you want to ask about what it will do? Because I know that this is all like new stuff here, so let me know. If anyone has any questions, I'm here to answer them.
Yeah.
Do we get to pick the ability, or is it just like the secret
it is,
hidden ability?
So it's a hidden one. It is the Pokemon's hidden ability, and if you aren't familiar with that, you could just ask me. You can use Bulbapedia, you can use Serebii. They're all going to be similar to their in-game effect, but not all of them will be identical. So
Jack gets his hidden ability. Melissa, go.
Oh, what is
it? We already have Intimidate. Yes.
Yeah, but it'll get more Intimidate.
But he has
Blaze. We love Intimidate.
Oh,
it's truly up to you. You only have one free one, so keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I will say Bubblegum has been liquid voiceless.
Mm-hmm.
And I have hyper voice.
That is true.
But I do have Sparkling Aria now. I do have Sparkling Aria now, though, so I do have another damaging water type move. But
that Oblivious is so good in D&D.
That's all
I'll say.
Who gets Oblivious?
Slowbro.
Slowbro. Right.
And Regenerator would require a switch out still.
Correct. I just typed in Patricia into the showdown builder.
Patricia!
That's awesome.
just type in Patricia. That's so good.
So do we want, oh my god, words, intimidate Ensign?
Perhaps.
That's good. That's probably, that might be your best option. I'm not
sure. For double intimidate?
Although, you could get solely with drought, which is really good.
Yeah, actually.
That's yeah, you probably could, more just powerful like, overall. Yeah, that's probably because, really good for you.
Because also, drought makes the hot, right?
Yeah, yes. It makes the hot hotter. Yeah.
It's well, no, it has. Makes the hot, and then it makes my solar beam go off. Solar beam, yeah. Right. Yeah. So I could just have that.
That's probably the vibe. As much as, like, Incineroar with Intimidate's that iconic, I think that's so much better for Soli to have drought.
I also, yeah. Fang has Intimidate. We got Intimidate on the field.
Right, yeah, you already have Intimidate. I guess it's fine. And my dudes have such unique abilities that I, like, would not change. Shell Armor's, like, broken in this. So, like, I would not change that. It's so good in D&D.
The only thing I think I would change is Liquid Voice. I think everybody else is good.
I've what is Alchemy's hidden? Options.
I think it's Aroma Veil, which just, I forget.
Yeah, in here.
I'll look it up. From what I know, it's useless in-game.
Well, it prevents taunt, which is cool. So
oh, does it?
If you like, yeah, if you really want to decorate. In Pokemon D&D world, I
would buff it. So if I do drought, it would be drought instead of
flash fire. It would replace it.
Flash fire. Yep. So I would then start taking damage from
fire moves.
Fire
and you'd be strengthening them, but it'd probably be worth it? Question mark.
Yeah. I think so. To just be like, oh, cool! I hit the field. Solar beam
and more fire damage too.
Just and more fire damage.
Instant solar beam is really the appeal.
Instant solar beam and more fire damage. That's kind of where we're at. Yeah. So.
Okay, I'll slap that patch on Soli.
Okay, you may remove it from your inventory, and I can send you the description for drought, and Soli no longer has flash fire. And instead, once you apply the patch, it kind of like sinks into her fur and just disappears, and then all of a sudden there's just intense heat in the room, and there's like an apparition of like a sun like that is high on the ceiling, and it seems that drought has been activated. You recognize this effect because Toidal does the same thing. Mm-hmm. Any other applications at this time?
I've got options.
You're welcome to hold on to it, too. Like, that's also a thing.
I just know it's going to be a long discussion whenever I get started.
That sturdy's so good.
I just want to make sure everybody else has gone through theirs before I...
So, I guess I'll ask, since Cindy, you already used yours, are there any mons that you have that you're curious about that you'd be willing to spend the coin on if you liked it?
No, I'm good.
Okay, you're just satisfied, you're happy with it.
Yep, we're chilling.
Okay. Gimli, it's your turn.
The only one I need to check on, does Reginald have a hidden ability?
It does.
It has Sturdy. Sturdy's really good in this format.
It has Clear Body.
Well, it has Clear Body by default.
It already has Clear Body by default.
Wow, yeah.
Sturdy would come up much more often in this style of game.
Yeah, Sturdy's insane in this format, so that I might actually change him to it. Because there's nothing else that's that appealing. The only one might be Regenerator, but like... That also costs an entire turn, so it's, like, not actually as good. Like, you kind of just use your Pokemon for longevity. So
I would flavor it. You can tell me if you'd like it or not. I would flavor Regenerator mm-hmm. that once per long rest, when you recall a Pokemon, they are fully healed.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Because I think a third, you just wouldn't switch that much. Like, it just isn't...
Yeah, that's the issue, is, like, we don't switch in general that often.
Right.
It's better to, like, play it like it is, like, an in-game type of thing, where you just keep your Pokemon out until they go down.
So, I think once per long rest on recall... And I don't think you get to choose. I think if they take damage and it's been a long rest and you recall them, they just...
Yeah, but, like, Oblivious is immune to charms, taunts, and intimidations, which is so good in D&D. It's insane.
Yeah, it is.
Sturdy does come up a lot, though, because it's like, although Reggie taking that big of a hit's kind of nuts, but I'll have to sit on that. Like I don't think I'm going to apply it just yet to anything in particular.
Okay. Yeah, if you just want to sit on it, that's fine.
Yeah, because it's between that and putting Sand Force on Trevor as opposed to Sturdy.
Mm.
But Sturdy's really good. Sand Force comes up because I have built-in Sandstorm still. Yeah. But then it also overrides Strat. It's like, it's a little too complicated, so I might not do it, but sure. I'm going to debate that between those two. Yeah, no purchase of a new one for sure.
Okay. I guess Elodie, because Schmidt wants to go last.
I think it's definitely between Aroma Veil and Liquid Voice.
Both of them seem really good. Like you said, you have Sparkling Aria, though, but then like Hyper Voice isn't really doing anything, right? So it's like...
The damage for Sparkling Aria is actually slightly more than Hyper Voice.
That's only because it's not Stab.
It's Stab, yeah. Hyper voice isn't stabbed right now.
Yeah, you're missing the stab buff, which you would get from changing it to liquid voice.
Also, I only have 5 Sparkling Aria PPs, and if I want to use it to heal too, like, it'd be nice to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have the utility of it, then keeping liquid voice would be pretty good. Yeah, both are good. I think you kind of put Primarina more online with liquid voice still. Because how many PPs Hyper Voice? Like 10?
15.
15? Yeah, that's a no-brainer then. That's so much like damage that you get access to.
Yeah.
You can always buy another one too, if you want.
That's you can buy you have the money, right?
I'm pretty rich.
Kind of low.
I have a little bit of money. Yeah, I mean, mine might as well. It's 400 Poké dollars.
Yes.
Might. What do you think, gang? Might as well do both, right?
Yeah, like
I think it's worth.
I think it's worth.
We're not gonna spend that money elsewhere. So like.
Right, like it's the end of the like
retire
world.
The character with your riches, you know.
Like, it's the end of the
right.
world.
The end of the world does.
Yeah, for me, it's like a debate if I even use mine at all. Like that's where I'm kind of at. Like. Because my ability, like most of my main party, their abilities are kind of just like unique. Like they don't actually tailor to those type of things. Like freaking Bean has 3 abilities, like baked into it. So it's like, I don't know. I'm pretty hard pressed to be like, yeah, I guess this one will switch. It's like, no, they're all kind of like perfect for this unique Pokemon. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to drop the money, you can do both.
I'll do it.
Okay. Dr. Magnolia is pleased. He says, thank you so much. This will greatly aid in our research and, you know, using Pokemon and their powers to fuel the future. Thank you.
I'm glad to help the establishment.
Please apply those patches, change your abilities. I can send you descriptions later, but what was Cabbage's ability originally? What is it called? Sweet Veil.
Sweet Veil.
Yeah.
Sweet Veil becomes Aroma Veil and Torrent becomes Liquid Voice. Very cool. Very fun. Congratulations.
That's true. Do we want Jack to have Intimidate? You could just get him Intimidate. I don't think Blaze does that much.
What is the description of Blaze?
Blaze.
Is that like a 30 HP?
When at 25% HP or less, this Pokemon doubles its damage bonus on fire type attacks. But that also stacks. It stacks with my when I'm at half HP. It does more damage because Cindy's got abilities. So it just does way more damage when I get that low.
And Cindy tends to live at pretty low HP, right? Is that confirmed?
Depends.
it was funnier because like most of that didn't come through the microphone, but she was like and I heard it from downstairs.
Note that Intimidate has been nerfed here. It's still good, but it's single target. And it's only for the first turn. It doesn't last, right?
Yeah. I think Blaze makes sense because I do stuff that kinda.
Also with Flare Blitz, it's a good combo, right? Do you have Flare Blitz?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Yeah, that's reasonable.
You kind of use that recoil to put yourself in range, yeah?
Mm-hmm. I don't like taking damage if I don't have to.
What do you mean? That's like your whole entire shtick.
Not intentionally.
You literally built it like that. Otherwise, why not use Intimidate if you don't want to lose HP?
Because I use HP naturally already.
It's true.
Yeah, but Jack's just going to keep shotgunning himself down. That's what you designed him to do.
I didn't design him to do anything.
You chose Flare Blitz. That's how it goes.
I saw another damaging fire move.
That's true.
If it doesn't do damage, I don't want it. With the exception of baby doll eyes on Soli.
I like how Cindy is a child and also is played. plays
Pokemon like a child. Moves.
It's great.
Yeah.
That's just how I play Pokemon.
That's how she plays Pokemon. Specific?
Is that not how you're supposed to play Pokemon?
No, it's perfect. Is that wrong? No, it's perfect.
I think it's working out really well for me.
So I'm assuming you're keeping Blaze?
Yeah.
Okay. Schmidt time.
Schmidt time. Okay. Does Motor Drive do anything special in D&D outside of what it does in Pokemon?
Motor Drive. Give me a second. Oh, is that Richie? Richie gets that?
Yeah.
Very fun. No, it's a move speed buff.
Okay.
And you're immune to electric.
Gang, let's be real. I don't think Togepi is ever coming back out of the box.
No.
R.I.P. Omelette.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Omelette. It's a little too dangerous for the little guy to come out. I'm sorry, Kira. Togepi is not getting super luck.
Damn.
But that's Quacko's son and or daughter.
Well, whenever times are peaceful again, they can live a peaceful life, and Quacko can take them to duck school, and it'll be perfect.
What's Quacko's hidden?
That's last on the list. We're getting there.
Okay.
Does weak armor do anything special, or is it also just a move speed buff?
That's a tricky one. So, yes, it's a move speed buff, and you also drop your AC, and it stacks up to 5 times. Okay. Which, if it's going to be good on anyone, it's going to be one of Schmidt's Pokemon, but it's a little risk-reward thing, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Skarmory that gets that?
That is Skarmory, yeah.
Got it.
Could be. All right, one of the big ones. Talk me through Gale Wings.
Ooh. Yeah. So, priority is weird here. It's weird to do. I think it would have a couple different effects. I think for one time at the start of combat, if using a flying type move, you can just go first. It doesn't matter your initiative roll. But you wouldn't take your turn in your actual turn later. And it would only be like, it'd only be Talonflame's action. Later in the initiative order when it gets to Schmidt, then his other action would pop. But at the start of battle, at full HP, you get that. Additionally,
right, it'd be like T0, right?
Yeah.
Like something like that. That's how Call of Cthulhu works.
Yeah, it'd be like, it's like a surprise round for just for Talonflame, basically.
Yeah.
I would probably also just give a generic +1 to flying type to hit just at all times.
Yeah, since it only works once. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
Just I like that, yeah.
Surprise round.
Decent. Talonflame has been in the box a while and is pretty low level. Talk me through protein.
What mon gets that? Oh, Kecleon.
Kecleon, yeah.
Yeah. God, Schmidt has really cool mons. What?
Yes!
Yeah. That's funny. It's kind of exactly what you think. It's like color change, but for yourself. I will come up with a calculation where you just add more damage. I'm not sure what exactly, but yeah, you use a move and you change your type.
Okay.
Color change seems more useful.
Yeah, especially with the skill swap combo we've got.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Gabriel doesn't really have a lot of coverage right now.
Yeah.
It'd just be Thief and Psybeam.
I think I know one you're for sure doing.
Well, we've got a couple options. We've got some bangers coming up. Okay. Is Cloud9 just like it is in the game?
Yeah, which is useful, okay. But also might screw over your team a little bit.
A little anti-synergy, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Patricia is still fine as she is.
What, does she have natural cure? She never uses it.
Yeah. Okay. No, she never switches. She's always there to get the kill.
Yeah.
That's the issue with the switching thing.
Yeah.
Again.
How often do we run into people that use berries? Almost never, right?
It's not super common. Does something get a nerve?
Mewtwo.
Oh, right. Honestly, I think pressure goes hard in this style of gameplay. I think that's really good, actually.
Yeah.
Because so many moves are like 5 PP, you know?
Yeah, that making it cost 2 is really aggressive.
A lot
aggressive.
Of moves are 3 PP, so.
As cool as multi-scale is, I think I like inner focus on Dragonite.
Okay, I was expecting that. For the record, multi-scale would be your first hit is just half damage if you're at full HP.
Right. I don't know, the not flinching and the immune to intimidate. Yeah, I like it.
Pretty cool.
Does Rattled do anything special besides just move speed again?
Yes, it is in fact changed. When hit by a dark bug or ghost move, your next attack has advantage.
Well, we have Runaway now, don't we? It isn't that kind of sick.
Runaway's kind of broken.
Yeah. Pokemon can never be a target of opportunity attacks.
Yeah,
no, that's broken.
It's kind of sick.
So, all of that just to get to Quacko. Okay. Talk me through Defiant.
When suffering from a negative status effect or stat change, so I'm going to incorporate like poison and burn and stuff, it gains +2 to all attack rolls. Which, would we factor that into crit? I mean, might as well, right? You're always critting anyways.
It's into the attack roll, right? Not the damage.
Attack roll, correct.
Mm-hmm. Quacko don't be missing a lot.
It's kind of overkill, but also, I'm going to be real, Quacko's bulk definitely fallen off. Like, big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which we knew going into this. So, yeah, it's an option versus what, Kenai? Has that ever procced?
It's inner focus, I think.
Oh, okay.
I have so many passes for Quacko that I took that one off the sheet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's the same as Dragonite's. We only have one more, which is Moxie for Diana, right?
Oh, shit. I hadn't pulled up Gyarados yet. Yeah, talk me through Moxie.
Okay. Did you forget about Diana?
I did forget about Diana. We have Intimidate, which is sick.
That's true. It's when you get a KO, you get an action reset.
What?
Action reset?
Yeah, so you get one additional action every time you get a KO.
Can that
Holy shit.
Chain?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's so sick.
We just like set it up so that Schmidt gets the last hit on everything, yeah, so and then he just fucking balls.
Gets a free action, yeah.
Holy shit!
Just execute also everything.
Make sure everything's flanked so that way they get
the crits. Yeah. Well,
the crits, the bonuses, all that.
Holy fuck! I think I have to do that. Yeah, I think that's gonna be the one.
Okay.
And then I think Schmidt will. How much money do I have? Oh shit. Said it was 400?
Yes, and you got exactly that much from Tate and Liza, I think.
Oh, I don't think I added that. Okay. Yeah, nope, we'll just leave it as is then, and Schmidt will purchase one for the road, just in case.
Very good. Love to see it. Dr. Claude Magnolia is very pleased that everyone enjoyed their gifts, and he's very pleased that you've contributed so much. He asks if there's anything else that he can do for you all.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. He will wave you off, and he says, feel free to come back whenever you like, and a whole host of fox Pokemon gather around him to wave goodbye. As you might have guessed, it is Eevee and all of the Eevee evolutions, being Vaporeon, Jolteon, Flareon, Umbreon, Espeon, Glaceon, Leafeon, and Sylveon, as well as the Eevee that he is holding, all usher you off. It's about 5 p.m. in Mos Deep City. The sun is setting. It is beautiful on the ocean coast. What is your next plan of action?
Schmidt's gonna find a trash can. He's gonna throw away his other two empty Gomosas, and then he's down to his last one. He's down to his last one. He's still drinking. He's still going.
Yeah, very
good. Con check to make sure you don't throw up in the trash can.
You did beat me to it. After drinking all those and smelling the trash, you are feeling a bit queasy. Can Schmidt stomach it down? DC 13
for Constitution, which Schmidt has a +2 because of his metal fucking arm. 16.
16. He passes. Burps a little bit. Doesn't spew, and is ready to tackle down that last drink. It seems that folks are kind of starting to wind down. Definitely going to the beach. Beach is getting crowded. You notice a peculiar white rock on the cliffside near the Space Center that has a little plaque on it. And yeah, people are enjoying their night. Any final things that the Paco wants to do?
I don't think so. I think we just retire for tonight, gang.
Sounds great. With Schmidt downing his last Gomosa and somehow not getting sick, and after receiving significant power-ups to their roster and having a good time socializing at Mr. Mimosa's, that is where we will wrap the session. Hello, and thank you all so much for listening to Dunsparce and Drampa. Extra special thank you to our latest patrons. They are Kenzie, Freddy, and Smoky Bones. Thank you so much to the patrons. Without your support, this podcast would not be possible. I'd also like to thank everyone who listens on our most popular platform, which is Spotify. We recently broke 1 million starts. Now, while we know like a start isn't a full listen or a follow or anything, it's still just a mind-boggling statistic, and we are so grateful to all of you who listen, regardless of what the platform that you choose. We would really appreciate it that if you subscribed or followed or did whatever it is that your podcast host needs so that we can track that you are following. Of course, last week we had a delayed episode due to a power outage, and it helps just for all of us to stay in the know, so be sure to click follow or subscribe if you haven't done so yet. The next session is going to drop on November the 26th. Thank you so much for listening.
You gotta
use it for your milf checks.
Milf checks?
Yeah.
If you roll 69, there's going to be a milf in that session.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. Well, I got a 26, check. So no milfs.
Oh, it's coarse and it gets everywhere.
Coarse and it's rough and it gets everywhere.
Unlike you. Yeah. And then Cindy gestures Jack's gentle face and says, you're soft and smooth. No.
Unlike you.
That is what Anakin says about Padme.
Get out of that now.
Damn, Richie with the Riz.
Little white boys scurry to me like rats. Have you guys seen that?
No.
Oh my god.
It's way funnier out of context.
Yeah.
They can still spill with a lid. Yeah. I made the mistake of spilling an entire large Taco Bell drink on my friend's porch because it fell out of the carrier.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it Baja blasted everywhere.
Yeah, it was a Baja blast.
Baja blasted the porch.
No.
Someone's got to do it.
In the porch.
And then Arceus descends and blasts Schmidt in the face with a judgment.
We did it. We summoned him. It worked, Cindy.
Oh, my God, finally.